so let your colors run tonight. We're painting in the dark, let your colors run tonight. The colors of your heart.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Catchy Lefty podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about Advent 3 in Year C, and we're excited to be here. My name is Jonathan Sprang, and I'm joined by two of my good friends, Mr. Patrick Engel and Jen Chapman. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Very good. Yep. Yeah, so today we're talking about Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20. Guys, what's going on in this passage? What's important? What do we need to know?
Well, one thing that's interesting to me about Zephaniah is that it's just a three-chapter book of the Bible, which is kind of odd for the Old Testament. So you just have these three little chapters, and most of it isn't nearly as joyful as the passage that we end up using for our lectionary text. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I in doing a little bit of the research, this is pre-exile, but it's definitely, Israel and Judah are definitely in turmoil. He has some harsh words to say about Judah and some harsh words to say about Jerusalem. So he's pointing to this bad thing that's going to happen, or this judgment that's going to come in the near future. And then, of course, like Jennifer said, the end is this call of rejoicing, for God is going to deliver them, but it's going to deliver them after this judgment.
Like, one of the things that gets me begins in verse 16. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion, and do not let your hands grow weak." It seems like a lot of people, especially those of us who live out in the West, we tend to operate and base our actions on fear, like even on a global level. I mean, just with the whole issue that's going on, this past weekend was that horrific event of the Paris terrorist attacks, but how Americans in the West have reacted to accepting Syrian refugees, and how we've allowed fear to dictate our actions. And where we fear, we almost, and for those of us who are Christian, I've noticed also that fear has also been a prevalent motivation for the way that we act and the way that we treat these refugees and these people that are looking for refuge in our country. And how it's almost like we're not acting as if God is in our midst, or as if we are on the winning side.
Right.
But we're acting as if the enemy is prevalent. I mean, and that gets me, and I think this passage speaks really well into that.
Yeah, and I've seen so many posts that have just depressed me so much, that people have this such a negative worldview. You know, that darkness, or that evil, you know, you have to stomp it out, but it will never go away fully. So you have to be prepared and always on your guard. And I'm like, that's not our story. That's not the way that it goes down. You know, it brings to mind, Jay and I have talked about this, like in the first season of True Detective, you know, the metaphor that he uses at the end, talking about, you know, that there's only one battle going on. I think it says it in an earlier episode. There's only one battle going on. It's light versus dark. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the night sky, and it looks like dark's winning. And then at the end he says, but it started in darkness. So if that's the case, then
right. Light's winning.
You know? And so it's like this really cool, like very pop culture, like just thing from some TV show on HBO that really they get it. Like that. No, like it started in darkness, and we're coming to the light, and we have a hope. That's the whole Christian message: is that there's a hope, and that it doesn't just all end in darkness and evil and bad and depression. It's like it's getting better, even though it seems like in the midst of it, it seems so dark. And I think that's where this passage can speak to. Can help us, because it's talking about, you know, one of the things that we'll be pointing out in our as we preach this, is the command at the beginning to sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart. You know, like, these are commands to worship and to praise and to give thanks for what God is doing. And then all the rest of the message, all the rest of the passage, rather, is all these future tense, for he will, for he will, for he will, and I will, and I will. So it's all these future tense things that God is going to do for them. But the response and the thing that they're called to do now in the present is to sing, to shout, and rejoice, because God will, God will, God will. So it's this future anticipation of what God is going to do. That's what we rejoice in, even now. And it sounds really weird to say, like, give thanks for something that's already that's not happened yet. But that's kind of the call of this passage that we're going to be, you know, that we're going to be preaching on, is that it's this. This, as odd as it sounds, it's like sending out thank you notes with the invitations, you know, it's like saying thank you before you even get any gifts, you know, it's
right.
You're anticipating that they're going to come to the party and they're going to give you gifts. And so you're thanking them in advance. And that's what this song is calling us to do. This song that Zephaniah sings at the end, you know, is just this song of joy. Like you said, Jen, it doesn't match any of the other part of the book.
Yeah.
But this is the response to all of this destruction, all this evil, all of this, you know, all the turmoil that's happening throughout the rest of the book. The response that then Zephaniah calls the people to is a song of rejoicing, of praise, and of a shout of thanksgiving to this God that is going to do these things, and we don't have to fear.
Right. Yeah, this is last week in our podcast, Jen talked about how she's labeling each Sunday in Advent and expect. So like the first Sunday is expect restoration, and the second Sunday is expect transformation. And this third Sunday, correct me if I'm wrong, Jen, but you said it was like expect salvation, right?
That was the word that came to mind, although I've kind of been toying with other options. What do you guys think?
Well, I was going to say, I really like that because it, I think to me, it communicates this idea that's present in the biblical sense of salvation, that like salvation is a process, you know, that there's this past understanding of salvation that we have been saved. And then there's this present understanding of salvation that we are being saved. And then there's this future understanding that we will be saved. And I think like that, like both the present we are being saved and this future we will be saved is very, very real in this Zephaniah text. Not only in this Zephaniah text, but then that this is G'day Sunday. You know, this is the Sunday that we are called to rejoice for the continual salvation that is present in this faith that we are, you know, that we not only are living, but we're also expecting. And I think that fits really well with even what Jonathan is saying about how God will make this happen. God will save us. And we are even in the midst of being saved. So I like that. Like, I like that idea a lot, that this passage is to exalt our suffering and to exalt the outcasts, for there is this very real presence of salvation in our midst and in our future.
Yeah, and it's a very, like, this world, view of salvation. You know, sometimes we tend to think of salvation as this thing about our spirits that kind of has to do with whether or not we get to go to heaven. And this really very biblical view of salvation is not individual, it's communal, and it's more about heaven coming to
us. Yeah, it has nothing. It's nothing about our individual salvation, but it's all about restoring relationships, like restoring relationships with one another, and restoring relationships with God.
Yeah,
and like that's what salvation is the restoration of our relationships.
I was just blown away as I was kind of working through my sermon that verse 19. I actually just posted it on Facebook too because it feels very fitting. I will deal with all of your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, and at that time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. You know, that idea, like you've already, you guys have both said, like this very now, this very this worldly thing that God is going to do, that he's going to bring in the lame, he's going to save the lame, he's going to gather the outcast. And I just can't help but think about the world issues right now, that there's people that are outcasts, they're refugees, and there are so many Christians that are wanting to push them away, and yet it seems that our job is actually to gather them in and to change their shame into praise. It's just heartbreaking that our world is so, in, like you said, Patrick, and so much in fear that we don't want to gather the outcast for fear of our own, our well-being, without consideration of their well-being.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's so important to make this our song. You know, because the rejoicing over this future reality in particular mm-hmm. orients us towards those particular hopes. Mm-hmm. And when your hope isn't just for your own safety or for your people to win or your people to be successful, but your hope is for the outcast and the lame and the refugee and everyone in the world who is in need, then if that's the song of praise you're singing for that future reality, then you begin to live into that future reality. And you participate in bringing that reality about.
One of the ways that one of kind of the fun creative things that we're going to be doing with this Sunday is we hold off all through Advent, we hold off on our Christmas songs, and we save them towards Advent 4, and majority of them till it's actually Christmastide. But for this Sunday, since we're looking at this future hope and this future thing that's kind of breaking into the present, we're going to actually tease in all of our worship songs, we're going to tease a Christmas song in the middle of it to kind of give this hint at this future thing that we're going to be celebrating, but we're not like jumping into it full bore. So it's going to be kind of these Christmas interruptions into our present because we're called to rejoice in this future thing that's going to happen. So I'm pretty excited about that. I haven't picked the songs or anything like that. So, and I'm preaching this Sunday, so I'll have some of the volunteer worship leaders leading that Sunday. So I'll be kind of having to, you know, make sure that it's doable for everybody. But I think they've got it, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun. We've done a few little Christmas song teasers, and I like it. People kind of like love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah, they want more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that brings up just the really interesting tension that is found even like within this text, is that idea of is it Christmas or is it not Christmas that mm-hmm. that we run into? Like, I remember when I started Advent last year for the first time with my congregation, they were like, well, why aren't we, let's sing this Christmas. Like they wanted to just have Christmas hymns, you know, starting in December until Christmas. I'm like, well, we're not in Christmas yet. Like, even though, you know, all of culture is in Christmas, we're still in Advent and in expectation. And so, like, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing in a teaser Christmas song.
Right. You know, one of the things, you know, one of the first years we did this, we just said, you know, just, we'll just do it. Just do it. And then we slowly started pulling them back, you know, because we wanted to experience that longing. So every year we just say, hey, you know, you can sing Christmas songs all week if you want to. They're on the radio. You can pop in your CDs. Like, we're not going to judge you or anything. But when we gather here, we're not in Christmas. You know, like, we're in Advent. And so, you know, you can get ready. You can practice those songs for when we're going to sing them, you know. But we're not going to sing them together till it's time. And we've actually, like, when I've introduced a bunch of, like, different arrangements or whatever, I'll put a list up online and just say, here are the Christmas songs we're going to be doing this year. If you want to download them and get ready, then that would be awesome. But we're not going to sing them till December, after December 25th, you know? So.
Cool.
Any other thoughts on Zephaniah?
This is good news for both the privileged, but also for the oppressed. I mean, this, even though we're not reading the Magnificat or any of those other types of verses, but, you know, this Zephaniah is speaking to a group of people that are marginalized. And, I mean, let's just remember that even to many of us in our American congregations, we may not necessarily be the marginalized people, but this is good news for the marginalized. And how are we going to posture ourselves in our expectation of what God is going to do for all, I think is always really important to think of, but especially during the days of Advent.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that that we've talked about, Jared and I have talked about, is the idea of, you know, when we approach passages like these, of course, the original audience was the oppressed. And so if we try to find ourselves, you know, if we're being really honest, sometimes if we're not careful, we're the oppressors in the text.
Right.
So this passage will help, hopefully, to open our eyes to find out if we are the oppressors, then that's what we need to repent from. And if that's still good news. Like, I'm not contradicting you at all. That's good news, because God is gracious and God is loving, and He's going, you know,
it's an invitation.
Yes,
for us,
absolutely.
To posture ourselves according to what this good news is, which is, you know, restored relationships with one another and with God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it for us here at the Catchy Lecty podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. If you want to find me online, you can find me at I Am Spraying on all the social media. Patrick, where can people connect with you online?
You can connect with me on Twitter at Padraic Glenn, that's PADRAICGLENN, or at faithcommunitynaz.church, where you can get my weekly blogs and my weekly preaching.
Awesome. And Jen, last but never least, where can we find you online?
Well, we are still working on our church website, but right now you can find us on Facebook, /NexusDallas, NEXUS.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for being here, and until next time, grace and peace.